Ephesians, chapter 5. Yes, sir. Oh, you want that on? Are you afraid I'm going to walk around or what? I might. Do you change the batteries in that one I gave you last week? Good, because it was dead. I think it died halfway through. All righty. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse number 3. It says, "But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." Before we start with this verse, we need to go back and look at the two previous verses that we did last week. And if you remember in the two previous verses, we talked about that we are to pattern our lives after who? Who are you to pattern our lives after? Christ. We're to pattern our lives after Christ. We are to walk after the Lord in all things that we do. We're to take and do things just like He did. We are to take and walk as Jesus walked. Now, the Ephesians, before they became Christians, worshipped the goddess of Diana, who was the goddess of love, and she had there were over 1,000 prostitutes, male and female, who laid at the doors of the temple waiting for people to come to the temple to worship Diana. Now, sexual sins in the days of Paul, or the Ephesians, was a norm. That was just normal. I mean, they didn't think anything of it because it was socially acceptable, okay? And because it was socially acceptable, it was okay to do. And that's the way they felt. Now, Paul gets a little bit testy, or upset, I should say, about what was going on in Ephesus. And he says, but fornication. You know, adultery is an act of a married man and a married woman having a relationship with someone who they're not wed to. You know, cheating on someone who is supposed to be your life partner. Having a one-night fling with someone who you feel is more... I'll use this one tonight. You know, God's intent from the beginning was one man and what? It was not Stephen and Sleeve? Huh? It was not Adam and Jacob? No, it wasn't. Listen. Adam and Eve. It was two, male and female. God's intent from the beginning was one man, one woman. In what part of thou shalt not commit adultery can't we understand? I mean, what is wrong with people? Why is it they cannot understand that? You know, Paul is reemphasizing the point that he taught when he was with them. Sexual sin is an abomination to God. You know, it must be okay to do. After all, everybody's doing it, right? You know, have you ever wondered about cohabitation? You know what cohabitation is? Just live with whoever you want to live with, don't get married. that's cohabitation. Well, you know, if it's okay and everybody's doing it, it must be all right. It's just like abortion. Abortion's illegal, so it must be okay to have an abortion, right? You know, I mean, I don't know where people are coming from in their thinking. I really and truly don't. But it says, then he goes on, he says, all uncleanliness. Uncleanliness comes from the Greek word which means impurity, physical or mental. This uncleanliness means homosexuals, lesbians, transsexuals, pornos, and things like that. In Romans chapter 1, verse 24, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. There's some verses here you need to underline, by the way. Chapter 1, verse 24 is the first one. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, you know, I can't talk about, you know, genders the way I would like to, because it's against the law nowadays to take and, you know, call a homosexual a queer or a faggot or something. I can't do that anymore. So I have to let the Bible speak for itself. Okay? And let's go to verse 26 and start there. It says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in it in their lust one towards another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense for their error which was meet. I'm going to stop there for just a second. What is that talking about?
Homosexuality.
Huh?
Homosexuality.
Okay. Yeah. The gay lifestyle. Wow. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. I lost my place. Malgany, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covet breakers, without natural affection, emplacement, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Wow.
Nothing's changed.
Listen. You know what? I read them verses and I'm going, what days are we living in today? We're living in the days of Ephesus. After all, Paul is talking about today. That's exactly what's happening. If you don't believe it, go to California and look at the fruits and nuts and flakes. Amen? Of course, you don't have to go that far. Just go across the street. Anyway, I won't get into that. But you tell me, you know, the queer lifestyle is okay, and I'll call you a dirty rotten sinner. I will. Because you know what? You aren't any better than the ones that are doing it. After all, what does it say in the last part of that verse? What does it say in the last part of what I read there? It says, not only do the same, but have what? Pleasure in them that do them. Man, I'll tell you, people need to get into the Bible. They do. They need to get in and see what the Bible actually says. You know, these milquetoast preachers who won't preach the Bible ought to get out from the back of the pulpit. Because I'll tell you what, they're leading the society down the wrong road. You know, you tell me that they can't all be bad. Well, I'll tell you what, they made a choice to become what they became. You know, there is no gene which made a person that way, and it is not bred into them to be that way. It's a choice they made. I'm going to tell you a story. I was standing up here preaching one Sunday morning. I was preaching a message called Queers and Fears. I'll never forget it. And this person walked in and sat right back there. Last row, right back there. And I looked at him and I'm thinking to myself, is that a male or a female? I couldn't tell. And I preached that message, man, and I'll tell you what. I preached it hard. I didn't know why I wrote it. I had no idea or anything else. I gave the invitation, and they walked forward and came up front for salvation. Amen. Now, there was a man, or it was dressed like a woman. So a lady was going to counsel with her. And I told her husband, I said, you better come too. Because I wasn't quite sure. And so the two of them led him to the Lord. And when he got done, he came up to me before he left. And he says, Pastor, can God forgive me for what I've done to my body? He had a sex change. He says, can God forgive me for what I did to my body? I said, yeah, he can forgive you. And he just sat at the altar and wept and wept and cried. He says, whatever possessed me to do something like this? I said, I have no idea. But I said, you weren't born that way, were you? He says, no, I wasn't. And I said, you didn't have no gene that made you that way, did you? He said, no, I didn't. He says, it was a choice I made. Wow. There's an awful lot of people today that are making wrong choices about the way they should be. You know, we have to make choices in order to go in sin. Did you know that? There's not one of us who go into sin, just boom, we're in sin. We have to make that choice. We have to choose to listen to bad music. We have to choose to watch indecent movies on TV. We have to choose what partner we're going to sleep with. We have to choose what church we're going to go to, or whichever one fits our fancy and doesn't preach against sin. Listen, God hates sin, period. That's the way it is. It doesn't make any difference what sin it is. He hates especially sexual sins. After all, God destroyed what? Sodom and Gomorrah. He almost destroyed all of one of his promised people. The tribe of Benjamin. If you go through the book of the Judges, you'll see that there was a judge that had a maid, and the children of Benjamin came and they wanted this prophet to have sex with him. And he gave them his maid. The next morning, he got up and she was dead on, and this is all in the Bible, she was dead on the front door, right at the front door. She was dead. She had been used so bad all night, she was dead the next morning. She was cut into 12 pieces. each piece was taken to one of the tribes of Israel. And they went and they fought against the tribe of Benjamin. They were, all the men were killed except for 250. 250 escaped into the mountains. God kept a remnant of the children of Benjamin. But he could have wiped out the whole tribe. Why? Because of their sexual sins. If he hated it back then, do you think he hates it today?
Yeah.
My God never changes.
Right.
He's the same today as he was yesterday. He hates the same sin today as he did yesterday. I don't know why people can't understand that. Or covetousness. To covet after something means that you have to have an inner desire or inner lust for that thing. You know, a person can covet after money. A person can covet after other people. A person can covet after passions. A person can covet after possessions. A person can covet after almost anything. When a person covets after something, it becomes idolatry. Many times, people use these things instead of God, or they become their gods. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17 says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor thy maidservant, nor his manservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." What part of thou shalt don't we understand today? You know, let it not be once named among you, Paul goes on to say. Paul telling them he did not want to ever hear they were doing any of the things that he had just mentioned. Not one time did he want to hear that they were going back into that form of religion. After all, the religion of Diana, that was okay to do all of that. And there's a lot of religions today that it's okay to do that. It's just factually bad. Then he goes on to say, as become a saint. The very moment that we become saved, we become saints. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says this, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours." The very moment that we ask Christ to be our Lord and Savior, we become saints. That's Saint Serena. Do you know that? That saint, what'd you say your name was back there in the red? Oh, Kathy. Saint Kathy. That's Saint Kathy. Saint Jacob. Saint William. I don't know about Nancy, but Saint Nancy. Listen, hey, we're all saints.
Amen.
We're all saints, every one of us. The very moment that we get saved, we're saints. I mean, if you can't say amen to that, you can't say amen to anything. You know, Paul is telling them that the very minute that they're born again, blood-washed saints, that they're a child of God. They're listed in the book. Paul does not want to hear them committing those kind of sins when they become saints. Verse 4, it says, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." You know, Paul, you know what? He was giving these people a real tongue lashing. Did you notice that? I mean, if you look at verse 3 and verse 4, I mean, he was giving them a good whooping. You know, he's saying, listen, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving thanks. Filthiness. Notice here Paul switches from sexual sins to sins of the mouth. Uh-oh. That's not good. Sins of the mouth. Notice filthy talking is as much of a sin as having an adulterous affair with a whore. Having God's, or using God's name in vain is no less sin than having a relationship with someone of the same sex. Did you know that?
You say, well, what's one little bad word?
In God's eyes, it's the same thing as murder. Using profanity in our talk is no less sin than worshiping the devil himself. Nor foolish talking. Oh, what's that about? Telling bad jokes? Talking behind somebody's back? Telling things which are not true? Trying to make yourself look better than you really are through your speech? Saying somebody's body looks so good she could be a... Hey, that, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. That's exactly what Paul is talking about here. The exact same thing. It's the same thing as he thought. No, nor foolish talking. That's foolish talking. That's stupid. Nor jesting. Making fun of someone. You've got a big nose. Hey, fat boy. You'd make a good stopper in the Grand Canyon. You're so ugly, your mama hung the pork chop around your neck so the dog would play with you. You know what I mean? Hey, that's jesting. You know, it sounds funny, but it's hurtful. Paul's telling them that these sins are just as bad as the ones he listed in the previous verse. But you know, Paul goes on to say, if you're going to talk with your mouth, then it should be thanksgiving rather than slander. Paul's telling us that we need to give thanks for what Jesus did for us instead of cutting each other down and bringing sorrow to the Lord. We should bring edification to each other and also to the Lord. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." The word edifying means to build up. Edifying that it may minister grace unto the hearers. There's a song that we sing once in a while in Sunday school. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. You know, the tongue, if you go into the book of James, you'll see that James talks a lot about the tongue and how that the tongue can cut right through a person. And we need to realize that we need to be careful about the speech that we use and how we use it. Each of us, every day, talk. Each of us can either build someone up or we can tear someone down by the way we talk about them or to them. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for all.